Whoa, and I mean whoa. More breaking news on this Sharon Moore situation. If you missed it, they fired him earlier today for an alleged inappropriate relationship with a staffer for cause. This just coming out 5 minutes ago from ESPN's Pete Thamel. Former Michigan coach Sharon Moore has been detained. Statement from city manager in Saline, Michigan. The city of Saline Police Department assisted in locating and detaining former University of Michigan football coach Sharon Moore. Mr. Moore was turned over to the Pittsfield Township Police Department for investigation into potential charges. Whoa. That took a hard left turn from a situation that was already a hard left turn out of nowhere. That is crazy, and we will keep you updated on anything else that comes out before the end of the show. Again, Sharon Moore not only fired for cause for an alleged inappropriate relationship by UM, but now he has been detained by police for an investigation into potential charges. Wow. Holy smokes. Okay, we'll get back into that a little bit later. Of course, the Falcon situation. Could Raheem Morris be back? What's going on with all these Ray McLeod posts? And you have Michael Penix Jr. and Kadarryl Hodge and Chris Blair and all these others, you know, showing love in the comments section about his recent struggles and what's going on with him. And he put out a separate post talking about, you know, it wasn't performance related when it comes to his release from the Falcons. And it's a giant mess right now. And we'll continue to try to sift through it. But right now, wanted to get our buddy Trevor Lane on from Front Office Show and Lakers Nation, because Trevor, there was a piece that came out the other day about potential landing spots for Anthony Davis, with us in Atlanta being mentioned. Why in the world would the Atlanta Hawks acquire Anthony Davis when he's always hurt, making $50 and then $60 million a year and having to give up some of our young core to do so? I don't see a world where that makes sense.
I mean, I think the simple answer is because he's a really, really good basketball player. Like, he is phenomenal when he's out there on the court. But, I mean, the question is, of course, is that the right move for the Atlanta Hawks to make? Anthony Davis is a difference maker out of the floor. I think he provides a different element defensively, especially with his rim protection ability and his versatility to switch onto the perimeter. That's when he's at his best. But I think he is still a very talented and very, very good player in this league. You have to buy into him being healthy, and you also have to navigate the potentially difficult waters of a contract extension with him, where if he's expecting a max contract extension and then you're talking about paying him $75 million when he's 37 years old, that, you know, that's where obviously it loses quite a bit of its luster. And then you factor in, what would the Mavs want in return? Are you parting with significant pieces of your core in order to go get that done? But the Hawks are in a position in an Eastern Conference that looks very wide open. It looks like there are lots of opportunities to potentially move up and make some pushes to win right now. So it doesn't surprise me that there will at least be some interest in Anthony Davis, even if he doesn't necessarily fit the timeline. I think there is an opportunity right now. Jason Tatum gets back at the end of the year, gets back next year. That opportunity may not be there again. So you want to try to do what you can to win right now if you have a chance to do it. Again, I wouldn't expect the Hawks to go crazy and start forking over a ton of assets or anything like that to go get him. But if the Mavs decide, you know, we really want to try to capitalize on our first-round pick this year, when we don't have access to our picks for the foreseeable future, when our picks are encumbered from here on out, and they want to drop down in the standings, one way to do so may be trading Anthony Davis. And I don't think they'd be expecting top dollar in return. So, again, I don't know that Atlanta is necessarily the landing spot for him, but depending on the price, I could see where it could make some sense. Like, if it's something built around the $30 million expiring contract of Kristaps Porzingis and another piece added in, maybe there's something there that could be accomplished.
I still argue, as Trae Young is the latest report, could be back by the end of this month, that what we've seen from the Hawks has been good without him, but he is still needed in order to make this team great and live up to their full potential. What have you seen in this stretch without Trae for the Hawks? Certain guys have certainly stepped up, like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Onyeka Okongwu. Kristaps Porzingis has been good when he's been in there, but he's seemingly been battling this illness situation, at least maintenance for it. Do you still believe that Trae Young is the head of the snake for the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, this team is built to play with Trae Young to maximize his strengths and minimize his weaknesses. And I think the Hawks have done a really nice job of assembling a team that can do those things. But we've gotten a little bit of a glimpse into what post-Trae Young life can look like. And there's been some good and there's been some bad. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been great. He's done some good things, especially in the most recent games. He's done well. But this team needs Trae Young to really hit their ceiling and really get to where we think they can go. So I think this will be a nice addition for the Atlanta Hawks to bring Trae Young back into the fold, get him out there on the floor, and let's see how far this team really can go. What is the ceiling with this group? You won't find out without Trae Young out there on the floor. And if the ceiling is not that much higher than what they are right now, if that is the end result, and it's not what I expect, but if that's the end result, then maybe that gives you a little bit more information going into extension conversations and whatnot with Trae. Whereas if Trae takes it to the next level and the Hawks spend the next few months surging in the Eastern Conference and they're a big threat in the playoffs, then okay, we continue to move forward with Trae Young. And I do think, again, Trae is a fantastic player. This team is very well situated with him. I think the Hawks are going to really take off once he gets back into the fold here, and that's going to allow everybody to slot in properly on this roster. So I'm excited to see Trae Young back with the Hawks, but they got a little glimpse of life without him. It wasn't all bad, but now they get to see what life is like with him as well.
How close are we to the point where we can start having legacy season discussions for the Thunder?
I mean, we're pretty close. This is incredible. They are the projected favorites in every single game for the remainder of the season, which is absolutely incredible. They are I think 14.5 or 15.5 point favorite against the Phoenix Suns tonight. And the Suns have been pretty good. They're missing Devin Booker, but they've been a formidable opponent for basically anybody in the NBA this season. They're above 500. The Thunder have been steamrolling everybody, just one loss on the season. And they're making it look easy. The way that they're winning these games, it's been absolutely incredible what they've been doing. So if they keep this up, they're going to go down as one of the all-time great teams we've ever seen. We're not there yet. I'm sure they're not going to only lose one game for the entire remainder of the season. There will be other losses. There will be some hurdles for them to clear. But right now, they are very clearly the number one team in the NBA, and frankly, nobody else is close.
Which player, in your opinion, has a better chance to find a new home and have a second act to their career, which had tons of potential and over the last couple of years have drastically faded, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson?
Well, I'm of the mind. At this point, do we just trade them for each other and just swap problems? No, I think it's Zion. If I had to pick between the two in terms of who's going to move, especially over the last week, Ja Morant has seemingly smoothed some things over with the Memphis Grizzlies. For their upcoming game, I want to say it's against the Jazz. They play in a couple of days here against the Utah Jazz. In Memphis, the Ja Morant has bought a bunch of tickets for fans to get to thank fans and get them in the building and all that. It seems like things are getting smoothed over in Memphis between Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. The Pelicans sitting as the worst team in the Western Conference right now, the worst team in the NBA record-wise. Right now they're going to be handing over the number one pick to the Atlanta Hawks if the draft were to stay chalk. So I think that the Zion experiment has run its course. He's constantly injured. There are protections in his contract to help a team, maybe feel a little bit better about taking the gamble on him. I think New Orleans just needs to clear the air. And so I think that between the two, Zion is the more likely to move, especially with Ja seemingly kind of working through some things here with Memphis. But, neither players necessarily in a great position with their clubs. Just to me, the Pelicans are in more of a dire situation than the Grizzlies are right now.
After a slow start, Boston's managed to turn it around. What have you seen from them?
I mean, they are raining threes. They're hitting lots of shots. Their offense is firing on all cylinders right now. The Celtics have been absolutely fantastic. The way they're moving the ball, the way they're generating open looks, the rate at which they're hitting shots is, and frankly, probably a little bit unsustainable. But that said, they're capitalizing on open looks. Jaylen Brown has been excellent. Derek White has been fantastic. And now you've got people in Boston saying, well, hey, Jason Tatum, maybe a month left in the season, something like that, he's getting close. who knows? I mean, the East, again, the East is wide. Nobody is scaring anybody in the East the way the Thunder are in the West. That Boston can look around and say, man, if we can stick in the 3 seed, the 4 seed, the 5 seed even, and Tatum comes back, why not go ahead and make a run this year, even though we sold off talent over the summer, even though we cut salary due to the apron system, they could wind up right there in the mix. Again, they're the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference right now. So it's been obviously a surprisingly positive season for the Celtics. They've won 5 in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And if they keep this up, Jason Tatum's going to have that much more incentive to come back this year and not have this be a gap year for the team after all.
Before I let you go, the team that you cover on a day-to-day basis, the Lakers, making news off the court. Do you feel like, and for those who missed it, Rich Paul was on his podcast with Max Kellerman, and when asked, said that the Lakers are not a championship team right now. Do you feel like that was a message sent through LeBron that this team needs to add more players? At least that's what the internet is speculating, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, anytime Rich Paul says anything, it's going to be perceived as coming directly from LeBron James, that LeBron may as well be saying it himself. But I didn't think there was any kind of offense to be taken, or that was any kind of a surprise or any kind of a revelation. That's what everyone has been saying for months now, since the summer, since July, that this Lakers team, as presently constructed, is probably not good enough to actually win a championship, but they're good enough to put themselves in the conversation of, hey, if they add a piece or two, okay, they can go get there. So I didn't think that Rich Paul, aside from the Austin Reeves implying that maybe he should be a sixth man when Austin Reeves is probably an all-NBA player right now, like that to me was much more shocking than him saying that the Lakers are not a contender right now. I think they are a piece or two away from being a contender, and that was not surprising at all. That went right in line with, you know, most of the conversation from those who cover the Lakers on a daily basis about this team, that they still do need to make some moves this season in order to get up into that upper tier.
Trevor, appreciate it as always. We'll check out Front Office Show and Lakers Nation, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Trevor Lane there giving us the skinny. Listen, I get what he's saying about Anthony Davis. Oren, no thanks. I'm good. He's hurt all the time, and he's expensive as you know what. I'm good. 404-726-0929. Hey, there have been some major baseball moves that have gone down over the last couple of days, and none of them involved the Atlanta Braves. Why? Let's find out next with Danny Vietti of CBS Sports and the Believe Network. A little hot stove action before we get back into your calls of the Falcons, Raheem Morris, and this Ray McLeod situation. It's a mess.